Graham, I'm joined on the line now by Liam Horan, Managing Director of Sleenua Careers, as always on a Monday evening at around this time. Liam, good evening to you.
Good evening, Aidan.
And welcome to the programme. LD has been in touch with us and obviously is pretty browned off. I'll read it as we received it. I'm totally fed up, underpaid and undervalued in my job. I want to leave. And I want to leave now. But none of the courses start until September. What's the best way of leaving a job quickly and getting into another one? I work in the area of construction administration, tender writing, dealing with quantity surveyors, basically keeping the whole show on the road for no thanks. Boy, this guy is very, very angry indeed.
Indeed, it could be guy or girl.
Indeed, I had it said when I realised this person.
So guy is kind of a generic term now anyway, isn't it, at this stage?
Oh, is it really? Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
There's a lot in it. It packs a punch. And I think a few things about it. First of all, it's important when you're angry to know what you're angry about. And is this person angry about the whole construction administration area, or just in this particular organisation? Do you know what I mean? That's the first question. That there's a danger that dismiss that sector of work out of hand because of this experience, whereas in fact it maybe just needs a new place to go to. Okay, and that's the first thing I would say. Secondly, none of the courses start until September. I meet this a lot where people think career change must include some courses. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. It's not a given. And you might be better off sampling, you know, dipping your toes in the water before going doing a course, because doing a course commits money, commits time. It might use up what little bit of free time you have, because it sounds like you're working very hard, and if you're as frustrated as you are at your job, you'll find it hard to go home in the evening and do a course with the clear head. So I would be wary of using courses as the get out of jail card here too early. It's easy to leave a job, and sometimes you should leave a job. And even if you have nothing lined up, I would still say you should leave a job. If it really is getting you down, if you really can't see a way out, and sometimes you can't get the next job until you get clear of this one. Do you know what I mean? That you're so frazzled by this, you're so busy because of this, that you can't just get your head clear enough to go and get the next job. So I don't subscribe to the view that you should not leave a job without having another one. Sometimes you should. And what I would say, as I've said here many times, people's career paths are not what they were even 30 years ago. And they weren't that 10 years ago. And after COVID and all that's gone on between the last 10 years and COVID now, everybody's going to have a range of peaks and troughs and ups and downs and changes and chopping and moving from one sector to something wholly unrelated. That kind of thing is going on. So if LD thinks that the reason they should go to a job right now is to maintain this linear pattern of career progression, I would definitely lose that straight away, because that's not a good enough reason to suffer if you're suffering really badly in a job. Sometimes that's the time you just walk out the door and say, you know what, I don't know what's coming next, but you know, we can't plan every last twist and turn of our lives. Sometimes we've got to take jumps like that as well too. So there's a lot going on there for LD. I think they need to buy time, first of all. They need to, you know, what's the line they use there? I want to leave now, but I want a job to go to as well. You probably can't do everything now. You can't, you know, you might get lucky, but you need to take that pressure off yourself. You need to buy a bit of time. This generally takes a few months to leave one job and get another job. With the best will in the world, it takes a few months. And it almost sounds to me like LD wrote this one evening when at their wits' end and said, you know what, I'm going to fire off this email now. They mightn't feel as bad about it today. There is a kind of an angry, edgy feel to it, isn't there?
Oh, without a doubt. No question about that at all. But that opening sentence, Liam, I'm totally fed up, underpaid and undervalued in my job, I want to leave. Could it be the case that we're all kind of under pressure, we're all in situations where we didn't expect we'd be this time last year, and that he might be exaggerating his situation?
Yeah, there's a very real danger of that. And, you know, I think I used the phrase here a few weeks ago in a different context about throwing the baby out with the bathwater. There is that danger. We should not underestimate how difficult, even those who are getting on well, even those whose businesses and jobs are going well, are under a lot of pressure right now, because the world has changed dramatically. The pressure on people, in fact, there's a whole industry springing up helping companies to get this remote working thing or this working from home thing better. So, for example, you know, you one time if you sent a message to your office manager saying, can you check this out? They might come back within 2 hours. Now, because they're homeschooling kids, it might be 2 days. And you've got to understand that. So there's a whole industry in that now. But do you know what's actually going on in the lives of your staff anymore? Because you're not seeing them. You're not going for coffee. You're not. Do you know what other pressures are going on? Have there somebody in the house, like a parent or a, like that, who's ill? Are they caught with hospital visits? Are they worried? Are they a COVID situation going on? The kind of information, the chit-chat you generally pick up by meeting people, you're not getting now. And some people are feeling under real pressure. And I would say the kind of job that LD has described here, tender, writing, dealing with quantity surveyors, that's heavy going. You know, that's detail-orientated kind of work that you got to really have clear time, clear head for. And it may just be that there's a bit too much pressure on and everything else is getting on top of them as well. But if this is a legitimate sort of sign of change, I would say, look at the skills you've developed. You know, the skill to write tenders, the detail required and all of that is actually quite a coveted skill. There are very few people nowadays who have the ability to lock in deeply into something for maybe a couple of weeks to get a tender written. You know, construction tenders are huge affairs. Somebody has the ability to lock into that, to fulfil all the requirements of the tender, to get all the supporting documentation, all the three quotes you need for this and that and the other. That's a massive skill that can transfer to lots of places, but you won't transfer it, LD, until your head is a bit clearer than it is when you wrote this email. And I hope it is clearer than today than it was that day. But that's the first thing you need to do, is to sort of see the future without this and see it in terms of your skills, not, you know, a job almost. Like, what are my skills? What have I got? What I can write. I can put together information. I've got good skills in some software if I use the tendering document. Being able to use the e-tenders website and all that in itself is a skill, you know. So this person has a lot of skills. You don't tend to entrust tendering work to people you don't regard. You know, it's the lifeblood of any construction organisation at that scale. So you wouldn't just give it to any Tom, Dick or Harry in the office, you know.
Just one final point, and you mentioned earlier that you don't go along with this view that don't leave one job before you have the next one. But in the current climate, in the middle of this pandemic, were LD to do just that, they find themselves in a very, very difficult situation, because he can't go for coffee with friends. He can't hop on a plane and say, I'm going to, you know, get a camper van and drive around Australia for 3 months until September. Maybe he can, but, you know, I wouldn't fancy trying to get into Australia in this current circumstances. I'm just making the point that it's a very different world.
I agree. But I think this is a seesaw here now. This is a balancing act. If it's so bad that it's just really bad, I think they've got to. And I think that when you say to yourself, "I can leave this," there's a liberation in that as well. And you might even tolerate more when it doesn't feel like a prison sentence. This email reads to me like Judge Barney Brennan, God be good to him, banging the gavel down and sending someone off for a few weeks or a few months or a few years. Do you know what I mean? But when you come step away from that and you know, say, I can leave this. This is not all about me. This is not the only job in the world. This is not the only thing I can do in the world. You know, that in itself, even if you don't leave, can actually be very useful. And I actually was working with a client lately in a not dissimilar situation, and they have found great solace in strategically or slowly working their way through various things they're going to look at, courses they might do, jobs they might look at. And that has taken a lot of pressure off them in their current job, because they do feel, oh, there is life beyond these walls here.
So this individual needs to proceed gingerly, if we put it like that.
Slow the game down a little bit and, you know, see the wood from the trees. Like a lot of people in banking now today, and we had this a couple of weeks ago with Ulster Bank as well, they're having similar enough sort of uncertainty today. Where do I go next? And you've just got to slow it down and say, what have I got? What sort of skills have I? Where might they apply otherwise? By the way, on that, finally, I know you want to get away now. I have a bias in favour of bankers as people to work with. I have worked with a number of them the last 10 years, and they're fantastic. And I wish all Bank of Ireland people, Ulster Bank people, the very best. they haven't had it easy either for the last 10 years.
Well, I think it's fair to say, Liam, that the vast majority of bankers are the best people in the world, highly respectable and full of integrity. Unfortunately, a small number of individuals brought the general perception of bankers down several notches.
Yes, but the skills level and the ability to deal with people and the sensitivity around people that bankers I've seen exhibit in terms of they know what's what because they've been dealing with money all their lives. It's very impressive, I think. And the reason I bring it up is I know that bankers I have worked with feel they have become institutionalised and don't know where they go to next.
Mm.
But once they figure it out, I've seen them go off in all sorts of directions and they get on great.
And on that positive note, we shall say thank you very much indeed, Liam Horan, and we will talk to you again on Monday evening next in or about 5:30.
Thank you very much.